Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
So think about the last 20 years in media. You know, it used to be called broadcasting like we do here on the radio. But now so much of what we consume in the media is microcasting designed specifically for you. You don't see the same thing your neighbor sees. That's the way advertising has gone, too. Ken Aletta is a media observer and the author of the new book, Frenemies, The Epic Disruption of the Ad Business and Everything Else. And Ken joins us now to explain what he means. So I get the difference between broadcasting and microcasting, but we're really seeing things change in the ad business.
No, we are. What's happening to the ad business is that it's being disrupted the way newspapers and music and magazines have been disrupted over the years. And it's happening very fast to the advertising world. And why this matters is that advertising is basically a subsidy. The network television is gone without advertising. Most newspapers and magazines would perish. Most apps, Facebook and Google, which are almost totally dependent on advertising, would perish without advertising. And yet the question is, what form does advertising take when the public increasingly is your frenemy? They don't like being interrupted by your ads. And so what increasingly, as you suggested in the intro, increasingly they're doing is saying, well, the more data we have, the more we can target ads at you so we can personalize them. We can give you things that we know you're interested in. So won't that be great if we do that, John? And so, John, hey, you know, on your GPS, we're following you on your cell phone. We can locate where you are. You're only two blocks from the store where you bought a sport jacket last month. If you walk two blocks to that store today, John, we'll give you 20% off a new sport jacket. Now, will you see that as a service, as individualized, not an ad, not an interruption, but something that's really serving you, or will you see it as kind of creepy? How do you know so much about me? Are you following me on the street? And that's a basic question for the future. Will the data that they have and the ability to personalize those ads evoke the privacy issue or not?
Well, what are we discovering about the way people are responding to that? I would bet that there's a generational gap between people my parents' age, people my age in their late 40s, and, you know, the millennials who don't seem to care about any of the information they're turning over to these companies.
Well, there's no question that there's a gap between the millennials who seem less concerned, according to data research, than their parents do about giving up their data. On the other hand, the generation after them, Generation Z, the research on Generation Z, which is basically teenagers, is that they are more concerned about privacy than the millennials are. This is all it's being cooked out right now. We don't know the definitive answers to these questions. But one of the basic questions for the future is, will the public recoil at the data people have, these companies have, and their use of it, or will they see it as a service? And if they recoil, will the government then impose privacy strictures so they may not collect all the data they now collect?
We see stories just about every week about the decline of traditional print media. Do you think there's hope for newspapers when so much of the ad budget is going into digital material that's designed for specific individuals and groups?
10 years ago, newspapers in America generated almost $50 billion worth of ad dollars. Today, they generate about $18 billion worth, and that number is going down. So advertising is fleeing from newspapers. And as newspapers become more digitized, the amount of revenue they generate from ads in digital newspapers is much less, basically a tenth of what it generates in a print newspaper, because people don't spend as much time on a digital newspaper as they do on a print newspaper. So newspapers are a challenged industry.
What about this online subscription model? I mean, every day I have to go through our Virginia newspaper, the Richmond Times-Dispatch, and I've paid for a copy, but I often forget to sign in, so I'm blocked from seeing certain stories until I sign in. Do you think this online subscription model will hold up? Because it seems to me a lot of people do want news for free.
They do, but increasingly what newspapers are doing is having what they call a metered model, which is that they'll allow you to watch us read a couple of articles a month for free, but after that they charge you, and then the question, will people pay for it? And increasingly, the evidence is that they don't pay for it. So the digital newspapers do very well at, say, the New York Times or the Washington Post or the Wall Street Journal, but they do much less well at local newspapers.
Have you discerned how people are sneaking ads into the content? I mean, I see things popping up all the time. It's pretty annoying when I'm trying to find information. Is that what we're going to have to deal with, more and more of that going forward?
You will. I mean, that's called product placement, but then you get something called native ads, which is native advertising. Is basically, you think you're reading a news story. It's the same typeface as a news story, but it's really an ad by the company. It's a reflection of the desperation of the advertising world to figure out, how do we keep subsidizing? How do we keep growing? And therefore subsidizing the media. So we have to try different things, including tricks, to trick the public into thinking, you know, they're not watching an ad when, in fact, they really are.
All right, last question for you. Predict for me what media is going to look like in 10 more years. Will newspapers have completely collapsed? Will magazines still exist? Or will everything be microcast for the individual and just hope that this all shakes out where somebody's making money?
I'm not arrogant enough to pretend to have an answer to that question. I mean, clearly, newspapers, I assume that we'll be seeing many more digital newspapers, and print newspapers will be like the dinosaur gone, because they're expensive to produce and distribute. But the question then becomes, will people subscribe to that digital newspaper, or will they take stuff that they can get for free off of Facebook and Google, but that may not be as reliable as your local newspaper?
Right. And no way to vet those reporters and writers and editors and the like.
In Richmond, they do at the newspaper, but they don't. You know, you often don't know where that information is coming from when you read a feed on Facebook.
Boy, it really is interesting. After a century of relative stability, things have shaken up in the last decade or so. Ken Aletta,
dramatic
media observer and the author of the book Frenemies: The Epic Disruption of the Ad Business. Really appreciate your insight this morning. Thanks.
Thanks for having me.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!